L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman. Very important. CBS News, Dickinson College visiting professor, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO. Jeff, you are traveling. You are in New York City. And we turn immediately to Ukraine since the Congress decision of $61 billion in many parts, but including major weapon systems, announced on its way to Ukraine. London reporting, Zelensky demands U.S. speed up weapon shipments to halt Russia. Why? Ukraine Army headquarters, quote, attacked by Russian missiles. Why? More than 100 Russian soldiers killed in an attack-em strike. Why? 5 killed in Russia's strike on Ukraine's Harry Potter castle. Why? The Russia rushes weapons to front lines to beat U.S. Army's arms deliveries. Jeff, this has turned into an artillery war. What does that mean? What does that tell you about the conflict zone itself? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What it tells me to some degree is the conflict zone is fairly static. Now, we do know the Russians are conducting, we'll probably talk about, offensive operations around a couple of places, a place called Avdiivka, a place called Chazov Yar, and also another location in the Donbass region, perhaps against Kharkiv itself. But those seem to be moving on very slowly, very incrementally, with a lot of attrition warfare. As a consequence, the Russians are also shifting their focus to longer-range missile strikes against Ukrainian cities, the electric power grid, infrastructure, trying to destroy industry across Ukraine, break the willpower of the Ukrainian people. In response, of course, the Ukrainians are employing their own efforts, usually using missiles like the ATACMS they've now acquired from the United States, as you suggest, and longer-range drones. And they're striking some of the oil refinery capabilities of Russia. At one point, they had reduced Russia's capability to refine oil by about 14%. So this is back and forth. You could say almost like in the Iran-Iraq war, the Battle of Cities, one might remember, where the two sides were trying to strike deeper and deeper. And now with the arrival of the longer-range ATACMS, the Ukrainians have more and more capability in that particular regard. But the question is, one right now is speed. Can, in fact, the additional military equipment, most notably artillery for the front, as well as air defense, arrive and be deployed effectively to counter this ongoing attack by the Russian Federation? But there's two problems there, John, and we talked about it before. One is the Western, the U.S. effort to get it to Ukraine. But then it's largely up to the Ukrainians to move it from inside the country to the front. And that's compromised to some degree by the Russians' effort to disrupt that infrastructure I mentioned, particularly rail networks, road networks, and the like.
On the Ukrainian side, artillery, missiles, drones, and big guns, all that is the front. Jeff, how long does it take to train somebody? The reason I ask is the draft is a very challenging problem for Kyiv right now. They are running out of frontline soldiers quickly. And there are many reports, anecdotal, that there are Ukrainian draft age males in Poland who are now threatened to be deported by the Polish government. In Ireland, where headline out of Ireland considering making further benefit cuts to Ukrainian refugees, showing up at hotels in Montreal and Toronto, draft age men. And that tells me that they're not only running out of men are running away. How long would it take, say one of those want to go back, to man a 155 or fire these missiles? How long training?
Well, for a basic cannoneer, it's about 8 weeks, I think, of training to get him or her, frankly, capable of operating a howitzer. Obviously, it's an integrated crew of usually 10 per gun, overseen by a non-commissioned officer. And the non-commissioned officer's training experience, obviously, of a longer date. And then the tactical employment of the artillery is usually by officers, and their experience needs to be even greater. So it's a unit effort, but the individual cannoneer about 8 weeks. Now, we talk about more sophisticated systems. Consider the Patriot Air Defense System or the NASAM Air Defense System, which is really what is in short supply. And if you had to prioritize those two for the Ukrainians right now, what I hear from speaking to Kyiv is air defense is really critical to them. A Ukrainian colleague of mine I talked with just the other day pointed out that they had suffered a real catastrophe in that one of their Patriot platforms had been struck by the Russians. And he said to me, you know, the loss of the platform, the loss of the launcher was significant, but what was really significant was the loss of the crew, because training a crew to operate a Patriot missile system or a HIMARS or an ATACMS, now that's a longer period of probably 12, 14 weeks or more to train them to effectively employ that. I think what you could do, though, perhaps, is move people around. If, for example, you have now a larger logistical base of moving lots of ammunition, perhaps you could shift some of the soldiers you have employed in that logistical tail, move them forward into combat units, and backfill them with some of the draftees, whereas it's just the skills of, you know, loading trucks, driving trucks, basic soldier skills on how to defend yourself with your weapon, camouflage yourself. A much shorter, a much more simple task, and not terribly different than some of them may have exercised as civilians.
Trainers, do you hear anything about contractors in Ukraine from outside, maybe NATO, or NATO personnel training Ukrainians about artillery?
There's more and more talk of more American military going to work out of the embassy, but theirs is in the coordination of the resupply of equipment. There was some talk about German, Polish contractors, if not operating within Ukraine, and British for that matter, if not operating within Ukraine, operating on the close proximity to Ukraine, particularly in, you know, areas in Poland that are in the right on the border, to facilitate the repair, particularly of sophisticated equipment, M1 tank, HIMARS, Patriot, and the like. So if they're damaged in battle or operational use, they can be repaired quickly and returned to the fight. It has always seemed to me that the one place the West should make an investment would be in contractors and contractors far forward to ensure that that turnaround of equipment is done rapidly and training on repairing it is done rapidly and far forward. Truly, it was the contractors that we depended on for those activities in Afghanistan and Iraq, which were key and essential. And ultimately, it was the removal of the contractors from Afghanistan that kept the Afghan Air Force operational, right, that I think brought that particular war to a close.
You mentioned Avdiivka and Chasinyar, which I believe are Donetsk Oblast.
Yes.
I am looking at this and looking at the calendar, and you've advised me the 7th and the 9th are important days in May for nationalism in Russia. I also mentioned that according to a report I've had over these last days, the 98th Airborne Division is deployed in that general area. That used to be really good stuff. Why is it so important to them to put really good stuff in there?
Because they want some kind of a success. The 7th of May is inauguration day for Mr. Putin for his new term as president of the Russian Federation. And we know for the effort that he and his administration put into that election back in March, this is very important to him from a prestige standpoint. Peskov, his public affairs officer, has publicly said on several occasions there will be special things around the inauguration. And then, of course, the 9th of May is Victory Day, the day the Russians celebrate in very martial fashion, the victory over Germany in 1945. And traditionally, it'll be a large military parade. Putin will be there. And so what the Russian military, I'm sure, has been told to do is secure some type of a tangible operational victory on the battlefield that will coincide with those dates. This town of Chasiv-Yar, which really has become a focal point, for example, in the fighting on the ground for the last few weeks, I would think would be something they would really like to capture prior to the 7th or the 9th of May.
The Black Sea. There is a large feature piece in the Financial Times right now I recommend to everybody. This is the pink financial paper out of London. And it has available to us a map, a graphic, to show that the Ukrainians, without a navy, have swept half the Black Sea, maybe more than that, of the Russian Black Sea fleet, permitting them to get grain shipments out of Odessa to the Bosphorus. In other words, not having to use the Danube route, which, of course, is the income for Ukraine. How did they do this, Jeff?
Well, they did it, frankly, without a navy, which is pretty extraordinary. And they use it by employing a combination of aerial drones, subsurface drones, surface drones, and missiles to actually threaten and strike, in many cases, elements of the Black Sea Fleet. One may recall at the very onset of the war, the disaster suffered by the Black Sea Fleet by the sinking of the Moskva, which was the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet. And furthermore, now with longer-range missiles being able to hold at risk a lot of the naval facilities that the Russians have built up over many, many years in the Crimea, to include command and control facilities, airfields, and the like. So all that is held at risk by the employment of drones as well as longer-range missiles. And as a consequence, the Russians have moved the fleet farther to the east, which then has allowed the Ukrainians, as you suggest, John, to open up those critical economic channels to be able to export grain, probably also fertilizer, which they're known for, out through those areas. And that's of crucial importance to Ukraine. We talk an awful lot about military aid, military assistance, money come from the United States and from Europeans. At the same time, if you are President Zelensky, you've got to keep or try to keep the best of your ability the country's economy going. Keeping the country economically solvent is a critical problem. Some of that has come from economic aid, particularly from the European Union. But your ability to export those products becomes very, very important as well.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman. CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, CEO, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. We're going to Gaza. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.